Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
How much can a person take? It's hard to keep going when the onslaught just won't stop. Nevertheless, no matter what you are going through, there's a very special something that links you to relief and hope. Incidentally, you and I both know we often need relief and hope. In fact, more frequently than we might wish. So what is that special something that links you to relief and hope? Let's explore. First, I suggest check out our initial content that launched Scripture Dissection Materials, Tear Into It. That episode explains how and why we introduce Scripture Dissection, and we do this periodically. In today's content, we'll look at three scriptures that mention relief and hope. But first, let's look up definitions of each word. First, relief. Some definitions. Relieving pain, distress, anxiety, or oppression. Providing what is desperately needed. Intervening. Now let's look at hope. An assurance that somehow things will turn out for the best. If not quickly, then eventually. So when we do scripture dissection exercises, we cover four areas. What does it say? What does it mean? Make it personal and make a commitment. So let's start with what does it say? Here are three scriptures that will start our investigation into gaining relief and hope. First, we'll look at the verse. Then we'll explore what it's saying and what it means. And finally, we'll dig into how to apply each verse in practical ways in your life. Let's start with Psalm 4, verse 1. And in this section, we're talking about what does it say? Here it is, Psalm 4, verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Here are some bullet points that identify what this verse says. First, this is a petition. In fact, it's a strong request. Next, the psalmist identifies God as the one who can help. So, he cries out to him. Then, additionally, he reverences God by calling him righteous. After that, he gets specific about his ask. He says, in my words, please God, I need relief. It's become too much. I'm in distress. And then finally, interestingly, the psalmist boldly asks for mercy as a starting point for relief. He begs God to hear his prayer. I'm guessing you've been in this place at some point in your life. So that's talking about what Psalm 4:1 says, but let's go to Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, a bullet list of what this verse says. Incidentally, the psalmist is talking to himself. He asks specific questions that show he's already done some introspection, and he's figured out he's downcast and disturbed. Well, then, he talks to himself again, but this time he exhorts himself to put his hope in God. And then finally, he reveals his future intentions. He will continue to praise God, you know, practicing cheer and gratitude, even as he correctly labels the Lord as his Savior and God. And keep in mind, this is when he's still in his difficulties. I'm guessing that you've been in this same place at some point in your life. Moving on to Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. There's that word again, hope. So some bullet points that identify what this verse says. First, the psalmist simply states he has a refuge, and it's God. Then he identifies he has a shield to protect him when it's too much, and it's God. And finally, he declares what he's going to do, put his hope in God's word. After all, it's eternal and it's practical. I hope you've been in this place at some point in your life. Why do I say that? Because this verse is a shift. It's a turn into practical answers. Declare God is your refuge and your shield. See doors open to provision of relief and hope. Further, notice your hope is in God's Word, the living Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the written Word, which is Scripture. So those are the three verses we're going to look at today, and that was a bit of a look at what those verses say. But now we're going to talk about what do they mean? Scripture must have meaningful application to become a valued resource. So let's look again at the same three verses about relief and hope and take a stab at figuring out what does that actually mean. Psalm 4, verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. This is a prayer of desperation. It almost sounds like a desperate demand for relief. But it comes from a heart that knows God is the one who can help. Remarkably, the psalmist knows in his heart there will be relief. But why does he know this? Because he knows God hears and answers prayer. What about details? Well, he leaves the specifics in God's hands. He trusts and he waits. That's what the verse means. Moving on to Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The writer is obviously very down, in fact, probably depressed. But he's already starting in the right direction by asking himself questions. What's going on, self? Why are you so upset? Then he takes a leap. He exhorts himself in truth. He quite literally encourages himself with what he already knows. This is huge. After all, it aids forward movement into hope instead of staying stuck. That's what this verse means. And then the third verse is Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. God is your refuge. He is also your shield. His word gives instant connection to his love and power the moment you reach to him by faith. Get familiar with Scripture and apply it to each situation and get hope. That's what the verse means. Okay, so then the third area we always look at in Scripture dissection is to make it personal. We've talked about what the verses say and what they mean. Now we're going to make it personal. I'm relatively sure at least once in your life you've needed relief and hope to make it through. Just doing reasonably well each day in life is a huge accomplishment. But to thrive when too many things go wrong, or when a scenario won't or can't shift, that's when you need more. So let's start with the first verse, Psalm 4, verse 1. Again, here it is. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Okay, think of a time in your life when you've been in this place. Now, let's discuss. You have a strong need. Something is very stressful, perhaps even painful. A situation only God can do something about. It feels hopeless. You pause to remember what you know about God. Then you specifically cry out to Him for relief because it's just too much right now. You need mercy. So, get honest and tell God, I need relief, O God. The next verse, Psalm 42, verse 5, and here's that verse again. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. So, have you ever talked to yourself? Similarly, have you ever asked yourself good questions to identify what's going on inside you? Do you know how to instruct your heart in truth and to put your hope in God? If you've been in this place, you likely also know the next step is to take a leap of faith into God's great heart. You have no immediate answers. There's not a clue how God will help. No human solutions apply. No elimination of desperate discouragement or even depression that you might feel inside. But something shifts when you put hope in God. It's not a feeling. It's a reality that follows your faith in a powerful, loving God. Although you can't see Him, you know He is close. Plus, you know He keeps His word. So, you throw yourself into Him and praise Him as He works out the details. And then Psalm 119, verse 114, our third verse. And here is that verse again. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Do you know you have a refuge? Have you ever felt you need a shield? Here's how to activate your refuge and shield. Apply God's word to your situation by faith in the following ways. First, read a portion from Scripture each day. Next, journal what stands out to you. Whether you're a notebook and pen person or a device person, keep track of what you're learning as you've read God's word. The next step is to memorize specific, amazing promises God has made. Additionally, apply God's commands. They steady you. And then remember Christ's teachings. They feature stories, illustrations, and parables that stick in your memory. So, promises, commands, and teachings. You want to memorize the promises, apply the commands, and remember His teachings. And then, equally, you need to commit to stand firm and wait for God's interventions. Then finally, drive your anchor even deeper into God as life stresses continue. So those steps again on how to apply God's word in your situation by faith is to read something from Scripture each day, journal what stands out to you, memorize His amazing promises, apply His commands, remember Christ's teachings, commit to stand firm and wait for God, and then drive your anchor even deeper into God as life stresses continue. Remarkably, these simple action steps help you turn the corner into relief and hope. So, get under your refuge. Stand behind your shield. Put your hope in God's word. Now we get to the fourth section we cover in Scripture Dissection, and that is to make a commitment. And here's where we talk about the application thoughts and questions. First question for you, do you feel desperate right now and do you need relief and hope? Second question, have you considered you have a refuge and shield close to you? Third question, do you know the difference between wishing something good would happen and putting your hope in God? Wishing rarely works. Trusting God works every time. And then the fourth question is, are you daily getting into God's word to claim his promises, obey his commands, and follow Christ's teachings? Before we close, I just want to say that if this article has been helpful, please consider supporting our ministry financially to help cover marketing costs that make inspirational resources available. To make a donation, go to www.aliveandactivelife.org/support. Again, that's www.aliveandactivelife.org/support. Thank you for partnering with Alive and Active Life. And now I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app. Or you can use our online player that's at the top of every article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.